is produced by the Living Church of God.
And greetings, friends around the world. Could you be a victim of false conversion? Don't kid yourself. Millions of professing Christians are no more converted than a jackrabbit. That is shocking, I know, to think about, but that is one reason Christianity has often gotten such a bad name. I'm about to give you provable truth on this subject, truth that you need to confront. It may be shocking to many of you, but you should not be afraid of the plain truth. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith exposes false conversion. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Are you aware of the danger of false conversion? Have you considered the probability that millions of people who sincerely think they're Christian are not really Christian at all? Listen, Jesus Christ was certainly the originator of Christianity. He should know what Christianity is all about. He tells us how to check out the things regarding religion, things regarding true Christianity. Notice the criteria Jesus Christ said to use. Think about it. Turn with me to Matthew 7. Go get your Bible if you have one handy. Please don't take my word for it. I don't ask you to do that on these programs. You check up on me. Follow Mr. Ames and me in the Bible. Prove these things to yourself where you can know and know that you know. The more you study, really study with an open mind, the more you're going to see we're teaching you the truth right out of the pages of your own Bible. So go get a Bible and check up. Turn to Matthew 7 now, and beginning in verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." You see, this broad way that most people are going, "because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, most people here in the United States and Britain and Canada, they think, well, most people go to church and they're all saved and that's just fine. Jesus said, few people find the true way. Do you believe that? In this age, as you're going to see, very few people really understand the truth, and even fewer practice the truth. Turn back to Matthew 5 and verse 17. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill," which means to fill to the full, not do away. "For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." That's the basic way of life Jesus Christ taught. And yet most professing Christians have been taught that you don't need to keep the commandments, or those few churches that do talk about them, and they're getting to be fewer all the time, don't understand them. They'll just say, well, you keep, you know, the Sabbath, but they'll interpret the Sabbath as they would. They'll say, don't kill, but in times of war, you can go ahead and butcher whoever we're fighting at the moment. They'll say, you know, well, you shouldn't commit adultery, but you can divorce and remarry for almost any reason. And they have a way of watering down almost every single one of the Ten Commandments, because they've been taught grace. Just believe on Jesus and you're saved. You're under grace. You don't have to do anything. Therefore, the lives of these people do not significantly change after they are supposedly converted. And if you think about it, most of you realize that, don't you? Think about these people around you. Are the people up and down your neighborhood, are they really trying to live by every word of God? Or do you have all kinds of young people perhaps into drugs or drunkenness or fornication or this or that or something else? Old people that take God's name in vain, don't keep the Sabbath, lie and cheat and steal and go their own way, you'd better believe it. Yet the very word convert means change. That's what the word originally means. Convert means change. But most professing Christians do not change. They have not changed after they profess Christianity. Millions of people are the victims of cheap grace. Cheap grace. People that are taught, just believe and you're under grace and you don't have to do anything. You don't really have to obey God. That is cheap grace. Grace without repentance. Grace without obedience. You're forgiven, but you don't need to change. And Jesus did not teach that. And yet that is the way that so many millions of people are being taught today. Tens of millions. Hundreds of millions. Notice Jesus Christ's powerful warning. Turn to Luke 6 and verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You've got to obey God. Lord means boss. Lord means the one you would obey. Let's turn back quickly where we were to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is hewn down and thrown into the fire. Have you personally really changed once you profess Christianity? So he says you'll know them by their fruits. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Oh, you've got to do the will of the Father. How often have you heard that? Many will say to me in that day, they'll talk about Christ, oh, we believe on the Lord, and how good it is to know the Lord this morning. Many will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied or preached in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Here are these professing ministers who said, well, we've gone around doing good in our own ideas and so on. And what does Jesus say? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He's talking about God's law all the way through the Sermon on the Mount, the Ten Commandments. And you read this and you'll see that. You who practice lawlessness and yet preach in the name of Jesus. He says, I never knew you. Most of us just grew up in the church that our parents happened to attend. You know that. I personally grew up in a mainstream Protestant church back in Missouri, and I did not really change at all when I became confirmed or whatever in that church. I had all kinds of fellows that I knew. I really did. Our gang was a big gang, not an evil gang, but a whole group of us that happened to be born the same year. Our mothers talked about how remarkable that there were so many of us right in that part of town born at the same time. About 25 guys I knew and knew well and loved them and spent hours, hundreds of hours with many of them. And they didn't change. Some of them attended this church or that church or some other church, but they were still cussing. They were still lusting, fornicating, getting drunk, whatever. They didn't change either. Picture all these churches, my friends, that people attend. Are these folks really different from the others in society? Are they really studying and praying and keeping God's commandments and walking with God? Picture the revival meetings being held all over America. Did the converts in these big revival meetings really change? You need to think about that. Now, I want to give you a quote from World Magazine. Christian testimonies have often emphasized conversion and sometimes ignored immuna. And here's a word that they explain later, means dedication or steadfastness, even though that is a greater test, they continue. Billy Graham has observed that 3 of 4 new converts at his crusades do not stick. Billy Graham acknowledges himself, and scholars have looked into it, checked up on it, and 3 out of 4 people that come forward and make their decision for Christ, great big crowds of them, 3 out of 4 don't stick. They just go right back to the world. They're no more converted than anything. Rabbis have traditionally and rightly noted that emuna, using this Hebrew word, is not the faith of a moment, but the faith of a lifetime. And that inevitably shows itself in the way we live. Yes, the way we live. That bridge is lost when we talk only about, quote, the moment of decision, end quote. A new emphasis on emuna in Christianity, that steadfastness, that utter dedication, could, through God's grace, revitalize churches. End of quotation. The point, my friends, is that people who don't truly change, if they don't really have a steadfastness, a dedication to God, if they're not really beginning to live by every word of God, they're not converted. If they keep right on breaking God's laws, in whatever way, they're just as guilty of sin as anyone else in society. That may be shocking. I know that. You say, well, old Uncle Joe, he was a good man. Yes, he may have been a good man compared to who? Think about it. Who are you comparing him to? Maybe he wasn't a murderer, robber, rapist. He was a kind man, a nice man in general. But could he be trusted to be a king and a priest under Jesus Christ in the coming world tomorrow? As we've explained to you again and again, Christ is training us now to be kings and priests. He wants to know, will we do what he says? How could this be, some ask? How could so many people, you know, be unconverted who think they're converted? Here is God's answer. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Satan has been allowed by God to deceive, quote, the whole world. And frankly, when you look into it, as we often explain in our articles in Tomorrow's World magazine, he's deceived this earth for about the last 6,000 years. Men have been allowed to construct their own society, their own civil systems, their own educational systems. They've invented, frankly, their own religions. And they have not followed the religion of God, because they're under the influence of the invisible God of this age, Satan the devil. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4 now, verse 3. Paul was inspired to tell us, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who? The God of this age, Satan the devil, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. God has permitted Satan to become the God of this age, and he has blinded hundreds of millions of people who think they're Christian. And he's blinded the whole world, of course, many other religions. They're all under Satan, the god of this world, most of the 6 billion people. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. We just read in Matthew 7. Few find it. Think about that. Meditate on that. Please understand. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you to wake up. You're at the end of an age. You need to begin to act on the truths we've been giving you in this program, my friends. Please be willing to open your mind and heart and to act and to seek God in a way you have never done. It will help you. It will change your life. It will help you perhaps more than you can even begin to realize. Turn back now to chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice what Paul is telling us here. For if he who comes, some other preacher, some man, later on, Paul said, preaches another Jesus, a Jesus that did away with God's law, a Jesus that just says, believe, and that's all you need to do, and all this stuff. Of course, Jesus never said that. But if someone comes along preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. You said, you emotional Corinthians, you might just put up with another Jesus, another gospel. What about you? Have you received another Jesus? Have you received a different gospel than the Bible actually gives? Think about this. Pray about this with an open mind and open heart. Be willing to follow what the Bible actually says, my friends. Your eternal life is at stake. It's time to really act. It's time to think as this age draws to a close, as the September 11th blow-up occurs again and again. Other types of things like that, I mean. As America's brought down, as the whole world around you changes, you need to begin to think, to really think, and to pray, and to meditate, and to ask God to show you, are you really in touch with the God of creation? Are you really in touch with the God of the Bible? Are you conquered by that God? Are you really walking His way? At this point, my friends, I invite you to write or to call us for a free copy of our eye-opening booklet, Do You Believe the True Gospel? It's not just some sentimental appeal to believe in Jesus. It's quite different from what you've been expecting most of the time from religious programs. This vital booklet, Do You Believe the True Gospel, will be sent absolutely free. So call or write today and request your copy of a booklet that may literally change your life. Just ask for the booklet on the true gospel. Call now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free, no cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, false conversion. Think about that. False conversion. Millions of people are being mixed up and confused, thinking they're converted where they're really not. We were in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. For if he who comes preaching another Jesus, not the Jesus that we just explained to you from the Sermon on the Mount that says to obey God's law, to live by God's law, and to live by every word of God, but a Jesus, a minister that just talks about giving your heart to the Lord, believing on Jesus, and that's all there is, and you float off to heaven. You have nothing to do. If he who comes along preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit from what you've not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Yes, people do put up with it. They just get sentimental. They don't, you know, analyze why they believe what they believe. And I ask you in Jesus' name, my friends, to begin to do that for your own sake. Why do you believe what you believe? Is it found in this book? Have you proved it? Okay, you say, but what is real conversion all about? Here is God's inspired answer. Notice Acts chapter 2. This is the place, the first place, where the Holy Spirit was poured out. And it tells us in detail about conversion and what it's all about. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And that's what many of you should be asking, perhaps most of you, if you realize you've not really changed, you've just grown up in a church, taking it for granted, what should we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, it's a promise from God of receiving His very nature, His love, His faith, His wisdom that comes through the Holy Spirit, His spiritual strength and self-control. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise upon what conditions? These are the conditions. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You must accept the true Christ of your Bible as your Lord and your Master. And Lord means boss. And you've got to be willing to do what He said. But my friends, you've also got to repent. And that's something that's left out of most preaching today. And if they talk about it, they simply skirt around it. I don't mean just to be temporarily sorry if some particular thing you've done. I mean to come to that you've got to come to realize, you, every one of you, you've got to come to realize that your entire self has been wrong. I've had to do that. Any true converted Christian has got to do that, to realize that his whole being has been wrong, not that he's just done wrong out here. He is wrong. And repent of sin. Repent of the whole way of life that's contrary to God. Repentance. Sometimes people talk about being saved apart from repentance. It's not there. It's not going to happen. Most of us have never been told what to repent of. We don't understand what sin is, and we've not meditated on that. We've got to. You've got to. Repent means to be willing to change, deeply change, not just to be sorry, but to be so sorry you're willing to turn around and go the other way and give your life to God and let God rule your life. What is sin? You're to be baptized. You're to be buried in the water for the remission of sins. Sin, what is sin? Turn with me now to 1 John 3:4. Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Or as the King James makes it even more clear here, sin is, this is what it is, sin is the transgression of the law. And throughout this book, throughout the book of James, throughout the book of Matthew and so forth, he's talking about the Ten Commandments, not the traffic laws. They weren't concerned about the donkeys and the horse carts, as I've said. They had the laws of God in mind very clearly. Repent of breaking God's law. Be deeply concerned that you've broken the Ten Commandments, and not only in the letter, but in the Spirit, as Jesus magnified them in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. Go back and read that Sermon on the Mount. And you're willing to change and surrender to live by every word of God. Notice James chapter 2 now, if you would. James chapter 2 and beginning in verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. How can you be convicted by God's commandments if they're all done away with? Think about it. They're not done away with. But whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not murder. So if you don't commit adultery, but you do murder, you become a transgressor of the law. What law is he talking about that has points? Obviously the Ten Commandments. It's the law that talks about adultery. It's the law that talks about murder. And you've broken the law if you break any one of those points. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty, as he calls it here. And as I've explained so often, the Ten Commandments, when you really understand, are the law of liberty. If the whole world were keeping God's commandments, there'd be no war, no murder, no rape, no robbery, nothing. The whole world would be at peace. It is the law of liberty. So you're to live by that law. That's the law that will judge you. And that's the law you've got to understand. And you need to repent for breaking that law as it's magnified in the New Testament. Notice Romans 6 tells us even more about real conversion and what it's all about. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Some people have that attitude. Oh, we'll just sin and God will just keep forgiving us. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Think about that analogy. In real baptism, you're not to be sprinkled or poured. You're to be immersed in the water. The very word baptizo means to put into, to induct into, to plunge into. You go down into a watery grave. Thousands of sailors have been buried at sea in the water. You're symbolically buried, and the old self has to die. And you've got to come to the place you want the old self to die. You want to give your life to God. If you don't do that, you're not really converted. You are a victim of false conversion, and I'm helping you with it. I'm here to help you. Please understand, you've got to come to a total surrender to God and to Jesus Christ, who is not just your Savior, your Lord. Lord means boss. Again, my friends, be sure to write or call us now for your free copy of our absolutely vital booklet entitled, Do You Believe the True Gospel? It will spell out four major aspects of Christ's true message, three of which are usually omitted by professing Christianity. This powerful booklet, Do You Believe the True Gospel, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. Just ask for the booklet on the true gospel. That's all you need, the true gospel. Call now. The operators are waiting.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, let's turn to the best one-verse definition of Christianity in your entire Bible. It's in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I'll just recite it because it's my favorite verse. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." My friends, you've got to have Christ living in you to be your living Savior. He will live in you the same obedient life he did live here on earth. He said in John 15, verse 10, "I have kept my Father's commandments." He lived by every word of God. You've got to live by every word of God, not by your strength, but by Christ living within you. You've got to have him living his life in you through the Holy Spirit. That's what true Christianity is all about. And my friends, if any of you want to act on the truth you've been learning on this program, call the number there on the screen and just ask for someone to visit you. Tell us that you want someone to call or come by. No one will come and try to pressure you to do anything. They'll just call and set up an appointment in your home or in your office or at this coffee shop down the road and talk to you about this work. They'll talk to you about the Bible. They'll talk to you about acting on the truth. They'll talk to you, if you want, and that's entirely up to you, about meeting with others who believe the truth, with attending a church with people who believe in the truth of God. Just give us a call and ask if you want to follow through on the truth. Our representatives will make an appointment, again, at your convenience. So call now and ask for a visit. And again, write or call immediately for this vital booklet. The book that I just mentioned, Do You Believe the True Gospel? And you need this help. You need this booklet. Tune in every week to hear Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain insights and information available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free, no cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.